We often hear it said that we should be using the scriptures in our prayer. We're often encouraged to read the scriptures. And yet sometimes I wonder if that doesn't present some puzzle to people. How do we do that? How do we incorporate it into prayer? And I thought, this morning's scripture gives us a very good example of a passage that can rather easily and fruitfully be brought into our prayer. Now, the results may not always be easy to live with, but the process is not that difficult. Jesus says something rather hard to hear this morning. He talks about, you cannot be my disciple if you do not hate your father, your mother, your children, your wife, your brothers and sisters. And you wonder, what is that all about? Well, there was a Jewish tendency to try to make a point through exaggeration. In other words, to state it overly strong. And obviously, Jesus doesn't want us to hate each other. You know, his great commandment is to love one another. And so, he can't be seriously saying to us that we should go around hating the people that we're closest to. But he is trying to get a point across that is very important. And that is, whatever relationships we have, even the most intimate of relationships, must be secondary to our relationship with God. That's his point. Are there relationships in our lives that somehow have begun to take priority? We place that relationship in a place that is more important than our relationship with God. And that's where our praying with the scripture comes in. We take a passage like that and we look at it and we say, what does that say in my life? Is there a relationship or a set of relationships that Jesus would have me look at? Is there someone that is maybe pulling me away from the Lord? Or is there someone who is leading me into some kind of sin? And I don't mean necessarily just sexual sin. Yeah, that could be true. But there could also be someone maybe whose influence is beginning to make us dishonest. Or there could be someone who, every time I'm with them, we become very gossipy. We're always talking about other people, running them down, criticizing them. Or is there someone who just, every time I'm with them, somehow they begin to make my faith grow weaker? I don't have that same desire to grow closer to God when I'm with this person. You know, those are things we can look at in prayer and say, Lord, is there someone that I need to be concerned about? Some relationship that maybe isn't healthy for me, that's leading me in the wrong direction. You know, that can easily become part of our prayer life. And we may not always like the answer we get, because the answer may tell us, hey, there's some changes you need to make. And yet, it's so important that we listen to that. Now, what about that part about the tower? You know, the guy that's building the tower and doesn't have enough resources to finish, or the king going out into battle. What does that say to us? Well, to be a disciple of Jesus can be demanding. And what Jesus is wanting us to look at is, am I willing to put forth the effort? Am I willing to pay the price to truly be his disciple? You know, we renew our baptismal promises quite often. You know, Easter Vigil, we do it. At the Easter morning Mass, we do it. We do it every time we have a baptism here during Mass. We pray the Creed every Sunday. And we can do those things kind of easily. But do I mean it? Am I willing to do what it takes to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus? You know, whatever discipline that I need in my life, whatever things that I really need to begin to say no to, what time do I need to allot to grow closer to the Lord Jesus? Am I willing to do those things? I think that's where Jesus is challenging us. You know, like the guy building the tower, have we really taken a look at before I renew those promises? Am I willing? Am I able just to say, yes, I will do what it takes to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Again, that's something that can really be beneficial as we read those scriptures and ponder, what does it say in my life? That's a very personal thing. And so we need to have silence there. Just time to let the Lord work within us, to let his Spirit guide us, to move us, so that we begin to look at how it is that we can live more as the Lord wants us to live. And then it comes to that last part about possessions, about renouncing all your possessions if we are to be a disciple. Well, again, I think that's exaggeration. I can't renounce everything I have. I could, but live a few days and I'd starve, you know? We all have to have things. We have to have homes to live in, clothes to wear, food to eat. Those things are necessary in our lives. And so Jesus isn't saying just get rid of them all. But he is saying, look at them. Are there possessions that really possess you? You know, things that have become so important in your life that you're willing to turn away from God in order to hang on to those things. Or you're willing to just kind of let your busyness about some of these things become more important than your relationship with God. Again, that scripture gives us a chance to look at that. What are the things in my life that I need to let go of? What are the possessions in my life that maybe I need to share with others? Where do I need to be more generous? Where is my greed and my desire for security so great that I'm not willing to let go of anything? It takes time, takes prayerfulness, takes silence to begin to examine those questions. And yet how important they are. Now, in some sense, this could sound like a downer, this theme. And yet, it's not. Because once we can put God first, and once we can free ourselves from the things that pull us away from God, then we find true freedom. And then we find peace. And that's what we all want in our lives. We want to be free. Free to give ourselves to God. Free to love him and to serve him. And we want the peace of knowing that we are in a good relationship with God. And that our lives are heading towards the eternal life that is ours in Christ Jesus. Yes, at times there's hard decisions involved in all of that, but the fruit of that is peace and joy and freedom.